Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM with Virgin Mobile. No more waiting. Upgrade your phone whenever you want. Virgin Mobile. Ring on amazing.
Did your mom ever say this to you? Never wake a sleeping baby. Well, that's what my mom used to always say to me. And do you know what? Maybe she was right. A new study says napping plays a key role in brain and memory development. So here now to talk about it is Ciara Green, the director of the Attention and Memory Lab at UCD. Ciara, you're very welcome to the show.
Hi, Jen.
Hi. So, Ciara, can you explain briefly why napping is so good for memory development in kids?
Yeah, so I suppose that the main thing really is that sleep is really important for memory.
Okay,
so that's the first thing. Full stuff, yeah. So, I mean, I kind of always say if I'm talking to my students about this, I always say, well, hang on a minute, like, why do we sleep at all? Think about this for a minute, right? Because sleep is, if you think from like an evolutionary perspective, sleep's a really dangerous thing to do, right? Like you're going to be unconscious for 8 hours out of the day. You're going to be vulnerable to predators. You're not out, you know, getting food, finding sex, finding a partner, looking after your kids, whatever. So like it's a huge sacrifice of time.
Yeah.
So that means it must be something really, really important. And the thing it's really important for is memory, for kind of consolidating your memory, for kind of locking down the things that you've learned during the day. And then with kids, we know that kind of kids obviously sleep a lot more. And the reason that they sleep a lot more basically is that they're still kind of building the infrastructure in their brains to kind of manage all that learning. They're doing huge, huge amounts of learning. If you think about all of the stuff that kids are learning when they're small, like not just information like we're learning, but literally how to live, how to do anything in the world. So much information. But the brain systems that they have that are designed to do that, they're still kind of learning to learn. So they're still kind of being developed. So napping is really important because basically what happens is we kind of almost have, it's a homeostatic process, which means it's kind of you sort of, the need to sleep kind of builds up. And if you haven't slept in a while, it kind of builds up until you have to do it. You might have that, you might have experienced that, you know, like you didn't get any sleep last night and you're absolutely wrecked by the middle of the day the next day. Or if you have a nap, you don't really want to sleep that night because you haven't built up the need for it yet. And with little kids, the thing that's kind of building up that need is how much stuff you've learned and how much your brain is able to process. And with little kids, it depends if their brain hasn't developed enough yet to be able to process that information. They're going to kind of fill up faster and they're going to need to sleep in order to process all that information. So as kids get a bit older and they kind of go through that sort of, nap transition where they move away from having a daily nap, what's happening is that their brains are developing more and they're essentially able to hold more information for a longer period of time before they have to sleep in order to kind of consolidate that and lock it down.
And then when you look at teenagers, I have a lot of teenagers in my life, you know, nieces and nephews, and they sleep all the bloody time. Like they seem to need a lot more sleep. And I remember being a teenager and I would sleep till 12 o'clock some days. I'd just be exhausted. Is that because of the changes going on in our body? Is that a mental thing?
It's kind of both. It's like first, so sleep has kind of, roughly speaking, has two processes. The big one is that memory consolidation thing, but it's also a period of time where your body is relaxed and when you're able to go through repair processes and kind of fix all the kind of wear and tear that's happened during the day. And when you're going through, say, adolescence and you're going through a huge amount of changes, both physically and mentally, there's an awful lot going on. And there's like a lot, you know, there's kind of a lot that has to be kind of recovered during sleep. And kids at that age as well, like their brains are developing still, their brains are still changing, and they're encoding a lot more information. So they do tend to need a bit more time to kind of consolidate all of that and knock it all down.
So we don't want to scare listeners now, but how common are chunks of childhood amnesia in adults?
Oh, totally common. Completely common. Everybody has that. Yeah. No, everyone does. So so partly because of the way memory works, that idea that like you're still developing that kind of those brain structures that support memory when you're a kid, they're not fully developed when you're a child. So actually a lot of memories when you're a kid, just a lot of stuff that happens when you're a kid just doesn't get remembered really at all. So like, for example, if you have any memories at all from before the age of about two, they're not real memories.
That's so interesting because I thought, because through my experience, my first memory was my fourth birthday party. So I'm like, my kids won't have any, I can do what I like until they turn
That's
four.
That's a notion.
They won't have a clue. But then interestingly, it's funny when I ask Florence, my seven-year-old, about the past, she never forgets the bad stuff. She never forgets I was half an hour late picking her up from creche. Like that is ingrained in her brain. It is like she...
So a lot of what's happening there isn't necessarily that you're remembering the event. It's that if something has been rehearsed over and over and you're thinking about it and talking about it a lot, you're kind of nearly remembering the fact that you remembered it. Mm. You know, you're kind of still rehearsing it and still bringing it back into memory. But like from when you're very young, you're not actually able to form long-term memories when we're very young.
That is so interesting. So anything, if you think you remember something before 2 years of age...
It's a false memory.
It's a false memory.
Yeah. So for example, right, so this is one... Like I have a really clear memory of sitting on my granny's lap when I was a baby, like maybe a year old. I have this really clear memory of it. I remember what I was wearing. I remember what she was wearing. And then a few years ago, I was like in my parents' house going through photo albums and I found a photo of me sitting on my granny's lap wearing that clothes. And I realised I don't remember that. I had obviously seen the photo years before and I remembered the photo and I constructed a memory of what happened in like from the photo, but sure, I was far too young to remember it actually happening.
That's blown my mind. And I'm kind of happy about that. But if we can't trust memory of childhood, what about adult memory and things like eyewitness events or evidence in court and stuff like that? How much can we trust that?
So... I mean, how long is a piece of string? But like our memories are very kind of flexible. So I suppose that the thing is, right, that when we think about memory, a lot of people like to think that memory is like a record of things that have happened to us in the past. It's like a computer, you know, and you can pull out those files and they're there, or like a video, you know, and you can wind it back.
Yeah.
That's not how memory works at all. Like our memory is actually, we say it's reconstructive. So you're not, when you remember something, you're not taking out the file and opening it up. You're
That's what happened.
Yeah, no, you're actually reconstructing it. You're rebuilding it from scratch. So like a good example of this is like, if you, and I was actually having this conversation with someone yesterday, if you ask somebody to, you know, remember like, how did you feel about such and such a thing 4 years ago? Okay, how did you, you know, feel about the outcome of a referendum or something? Okay, they're not actually remembering how they felt. They're inferring how they probably felt based on how they feel about it now.
Yeah.
You know, and we have loads of really, really good evidence showing that, that actually people are really bad at remembering how what they actually did. They're reconstructing it and your reconstruction is kind of biased by your current beliefs and what you believe and, you know, how you feel right now.
This might fix a lot of arguments between people because it is because some people are so set in stone that, you know, if they have a very vivid, strong memory that they are right because they treat it like a recording device and that is not the case.
So that's actually something called flashbulb memories. There's this whole phenomenon, right, where, you know, you have this really clear memory, like it's so clear it's like a photo. And so there's evidence that people, when they have those really clear flashbulb memories, those memories are held really high confidence, but they're actually just as fallible as every other memory. They're just as susceptible to distortion and interference and all kinds of things. So like, I'll give you a really good example of this, right? Because this is only a fairly recent one. Like a lot of people of my vintage, I have a really clear memory of where I was on September 11th. I was in Rome with my best friend. We were on our first, you know, kind of independent foreign holiday without parents, you know. And I remember really, really clearly, we came downstairs. We were staying in a hostel and we came downstairs and everyone was standing around looking up at the TV up on the ceiling, you know, hanging out of the roof. And we were like, oh, what's going on? And they said, oh, you know, a plane's crashed into like a World Trade Center in New York. And as we watched, the second plane crashed in. So we were still standing there when we saw it. And I remember this, that we were coming down to go to breakfast and it was first thing in the morning. And it was only years and years later that I realized, hang on, that can't be true. This happened at 9 a.m. in New York. There's a 6-hour time difference. It has to have been 3 o'clock in the afternoon in Rome. But I remembered, because I knew that event happened in the morning, I remembered it, that I was experiencing it in the morning, but it can't have been. It has to have been the afternoon. So we must have gone back to the hostel for some reason after our morning and then we were coming back out. I don't know. I don't remember that. As far as I'm concerned, we were still going to breakfast.
Yeah.
But it's only really recently. Ironically, it was only when I was going to give a talk on flashbulb memory to a conference and I was talking about September 11th. Only at that point, when I was literally writing my talk, I realised my memory was wrong. And it was actually a really good example of how this stuff happens.
As adults, can we improve our memory? I mean, if we start napping, is that going to help?
Not so much, no. Okay. I mean, it's not really... I mean, so it is really important for adults, anybody, that you get enough sleep. But with adults, we're what's what they call monophasic. So we're actually fine if we get all our sleep in one go, so that we get it all, you know, like in one go at night. Having said that, if you're not getting any sleep at night, if you're having a lot of disrupted sleep, then yeah, a nap can really help, because you kind of have that sort of sleep debt, like you haven't got enough sleep. You haven't been able to kind of consolidate your learning and your memory. So like there's studies showing, for example, if you get people to learn some stuff and then you wait 8 hours and you test them again. And half of the people sleep during that 8 hours and half of them don't, but the same amount of time has elapsed. The people who slept are going to be able to remember that information way better because they were able to consolidate that information. They were able to kind of lock it down in their minds. So, you know, that idea of getting enough sleep is really important. And if you're, for some reason, maybe because someone is snoring, maybe because you've got, you know, children who are awake all night, whatever it is, maybe because you're anxious and you're not getting enough sleep at night, then yeah, then a nap can help because you're kind of, but that's really only, it's not a case of like forcing yourself to sleep. You'll have that feeling that you know you need to sleep. You'll feel sleepy.
Listening to your body and
yeah.
And how long should we nap for? Is that listening to our body as well?
That's listening to your body too. Yeah. So that's, and that comes back to that thing with kids as well. That idea of that it's not a, there isn't a point at which you say, okay, you are now 3 years old and we're stopping to nap. We're stopping,
which
we're not
a lot
napping
of parents
anymore.
Do.
Yeah. And because a lot of parents have been told that, you know, there's an age at which you should stop napping. But actually kids' brains develop, you know, everybody's brain is different. Kids' brains develop at different rates. And the kid's brain essentially will know when it's time to stop napping, when you don't need it anymore. So a lot of parents will know that, like, even their fairly young kids, maybe 2-year-olds, just won't nap anymore. And they're trying to get them to nap and yeah. they just won't. And there's kind of no point in forcing it then because their bodies know if they need to sleep. And what's the thing that's telling them they need to sleep is essentially has to do with that kind of consolidation of memory. So if their brain has developed enough at that point, or I should say at least that particular piece of their brain has developed enough at that point, then they might be able to go longer without sleep.
Or give them an abacus and, you know, a few sums to do and teach
exactly.
them
Exactly, teach them something really hard.
And, yeah, and see if you can get them down yeah. that way. Really, really interesting stuff, especially with the childhood memories. Amazing stuff. Thank you so much. Kira Green, Director of Attention and Memory Lab at UCD. Thank you so much for coming into the studio and we'll
Thanks.
Be back right after this. RTE.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM with Virgin Mobile. Stay connected with unlimited data, calls and texts. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.